Would you turn your Bible to Exodus chapter 12? Someone who has a keen eyes notice that we are skipping chapter 11. I will explain. Let's start. Many people think that Old Testament does not have a deep theology as the New Testament. I used to think that way, and I realized how wrong I was. You know, if you compare the Old Testament and New Testament is pretty much in your face. Theology is right in front of you. All you got to just read it, and then it's there. For the Old Testament, you have to dig through. It's like a gold mine. You have to dig, and you find more and more. The precious jewel from God. Old Testament is filled with the prophecy of Jesus, but the future about the future event for them, because they don't know anything about. But for us, they became an accurate historical event and the end time prophecies as well. The more we dig into the Old Testament, more jewels of God we would find. Chapter 12 of the book of Exodus is case in point. This is one of the highlights of this book. Many Christians in America don't understand the true meaning of Passover, unless you're a Jew. They tend to think that it is nothing more than Jewish holiday they cherish. Then when Israel entered Egypt for 430 years ago, it was family of 70 people. Now as they are leaving the Egypt as a nation, now they have 2 million strong, 600 men. Then, of course, there are families. In his historical, Hebrew style writing, Moses wrote, who's that? You're buying lunch for all of us. I had a brain fart for a second. He wrote what he's going to say in chapter 12 in chapter 11. Am I making sense? If you look at the Genesis chapter 1, it talks about the creation. In chapter 2, it's all over again. Don't think that God created the universe twice. It's the same thing. It's Hebrew style that they say something in a concise manner, and then he explains a little more in detail in following. Am I making sense? So chapter 11 is a concise manner of what he's going to talk about in chapter 12. So we will skip chapter 11 and we'll start at the chapter 12. Let's stop and pray. Father, there are many things we must know in the Bible. Passover is not for the Jews only, for born-again Christians. Not to observe as a ritual or the things we in the historical event, but it's the things that pointing to our Lord Jesus Christ. If there's anything that we need to know about Jesus Christ, we want to know, Father. Teach us. Open our heart. Anoint our heart. Then we may understand this event was a preordained, foreordained, and before the creation of the universe. Anoint one who speaks, that he may not speak his own, but your word only. Father, we in this world, many things goes wrong way and the loss its way. But we don't want to lose your way, Father. Because your word is a lamp unto our feet and a lantern to our path. Show us. And Father, we pray for this coronavirus to be gone. And obviously it is making a havoc on people's lives. I saw an article that 8 million people fell into poverty level due to the coronavirus and what some of the government officials demanding because of that. Father, use us to spread your good news during this time. Father, we pray for the President Trump and all the politicians who are in the office. Father, we are asking you, will be done in their lives. We even ask you to speak to them so they may come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. And we pray for the safety of our troops, law enforcement personnel, and the firefighters. Another officer has been shot. Father, you willing, you touch his body and heal him. And comfort the families and the friends. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, and saying, this month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you, or to you. Speak to all congregation of Israel, saying, put number one, please. On the 10th day of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, he shall make your count for the lamb. Number two, before your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goat. Number three, before now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. Stop there, please. Hebrew people escaping from Egypt were not just moving to another house, another location, like we're moving to, you know, drive a few miles down the road into the new house. It is one of those major events of the Jewish history, so it should be noted as the new beginning. New year with the month of their redemption from Egypt. The tenth and the final plague against Egypt affect every Egyptian family and their animals directly. Israelite was spared for the last three plagues, but for this plague, they had to be redeemed and show faith in God. Otherwise, they would not be spared. What am I talking about? For all the thousands of the lambs that were slaughtered that night, but they all represent one particular lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect Passover lamb that was slain for us. The Passover is not mere historical event, rather pointing to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world. I would like to point out the three things to your attention. Number one, this Passover lamb had to be chosen before it is slain. Select on 10th day and slain at twilight of the 14th and 15th day, and the lamb was set aside for death. So the Christ was a lamb foreordained before the foundation of the world. And how do I know? 1 Peter chapter 1, please. Go all the way to the back, near Revelation. 1 Peter chapter 1, please. Right after the book of James, verse 20. I love the sound of the pages flipping. Do you know there are some churches never flip their pages because it's all on the screen? Verse 20. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world and was manifest in this last time for you. Who is he here? Jesus. Okay. Second point I'd like to bring it to you, without blemish. While the spot is inherited defect, blemish is acquired defect. We are born with a sinful nature from Adam and Eve, and we are sinners because we are sinners already to begin with, and we are sinners because we sin against the Lord intentionally. But for our Lord Jesus, he was born with our sinful nature because the Holy Spirit came upon the virgin, not like Mormons would think sexually, but Holy Spirit brought him through the virgin. He had never sinned in his life. It is no wonder that the Bible calls Jesus the perfect Lamb of God. Am I making sense? Go back to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, please. But with the precious blood of Jesus, of precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Like I said, no inherited sin and no sin while he's alive. Third thing that I should point out to you is tested, watched. For 4 days, Israelites would watch and make sure that they chose the right lamb. For the last 3 years of the Jesus' life on earth, people watched him, especially Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees. They watched him until the day he was crucified. Let's go down to the verse 7 of chapter 12. Now we see the instruction for the eating the Passover. And they shall take some of the blood and put it in the two doorposts and lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roast in a fire, and with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, but nor boiled at all with water, but roast in a fire, its head is with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning. What remain of it until morning, you shall burn with a fire. Thus you shall eat it. With the belt on your waist, with your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand. You shall eat in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Stop there again, please. When the Jews apply the blood of the lamb and the doorpost, think with me. Let's say this is the door. You put on the doorpost and the lintel. What is the shape you see? Cross. Remember this when you guys study the Bible. God does not waste any word in the Bible. You need to pay attention for those things. The Israelites were told to eat the flesh of the lamb roasted with fire. Of course, the fire symbolized the judgment of God. When they eat the lamb, they also eat unleavened bread, which speaks of no sin. Leaven talks about the sin. It points to Christ, bread of life without sin. And they were also to partake of this meal with a bitter herb, which represent the concept of redemption and reminding them of the bitterness of the time their slavery in Egypt. Go down to verse 12, please. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be the sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, okay, would you underline, highlight, I don't care what you do. Make sure this portion is remembered. When I see the blood, I will pass what? Over you. There is the word Passover. And plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. If Egyptian believed the God of Israel by faith, they too would be spared. When the Lord told them, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, it has nothing to do with a person's merit or good behavior. It's a matter of believing what the Lord told them to do. Simple obedience. Let's say there's a Jewish man. He heard God's instruction through Moses. He heard, but he didn't go out to in front of his house. He didn't put the blood on the post and the lintel. Guess what happened to that guy? Yes, no. Does he die or not? He dies. Why? He's a Jewish guy. He's a good behavior. He didn't follow through. Am I making sense? Okay, let me put it in our terms. Let's say there is a man who say, I'm a Christian. I go to church. I take a communion. I do this. I do that. But if he never received Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, what happened to him when he dies? Does he go to heaven or hell? Exactly. Because he didn't follow through what the God says. It is one thing to acknowledge the truth, but it is a completely different thing to believe, obey, and act upon it. Belief and obedience must go hand in hand. Obedience to the Word of God is a faith in action. Am I making sense? Go to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, please. Right before the book of James this time. Hebrews 9. You there yet? According to the law, almost all things are purified with the blood. And without shedding the blood, there is no what? Remission. Don't forget it. If Jesus Christ, if anybody could go to heaven, like many people believe, Jesus died in vain. He went through all that agony for nothing. Every Egyptian family that had their firstborn was killed that night, unless they applied the lamb's blood by faith in the God of Israel. Just like those who don't accept atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ on behalf of our sins will be condemned by their own decisions and will face eternal death in the lake of fire. Some people will say, I know what the Bible says about the salvation, but what does it mean, but? He just canceled everything what he said or what the other person says. In other words, what he really saying is he knows what the Bible says about salvation. At the same time, he thinks that what he believes is accurate and the Bible is wrong. Is that true? No. They cannot be two contradicting truths for the same question. Either the Bible is right and a person's opinion is right. That person is challenging the infallibility of the Word of God. And this is not only applies to a subject of salvation, but also all the other precepts and principles in the Bible. Go to Matthew chapter 24, please. Matthew 24, verse 35. Okay, that's for dinner. The other person is buying lunch. Verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away. Get this, guys. My word, Jesus' word, will by no means pass away. Guys, remember that. You cannot say, I know what the Bible says, but. Okay? As soon as you say that, you just cancel what the Bible says. And you're telling somebody, I don't agree with the Bible. That's an extremely dangerous statement. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 12, verse 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take the lambs for yourselves according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take the bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. You know, as soon as the guy says, don't go out, you're thinking at the door. Can I look out just a peek? We have such a rebellious attitude, don't we? Don't look at me like you never do. Throughout the scripture, hyssop is often used to apply the blood for the cleansing of sins and purification. Where are they? Since U.S., here or there. Leviticus 14:6, Numbers 19:6, and Numbers 19:18. King David also wrote in his Psalm of Repentance using hyssop for the cleansing. Psalm 51, please. Psalm 51. Some of you guys know this by heart. Psalm 51, verse 7. Purge me with what? Hyssop. And I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. When did he write this? After he got caught by the Nathan. And David thought he literally getting away with murder. Right? And for a year, he didn't write anything. No psalms, even though he was a psalmist of the Israel. He didn't pray. He didn't write any prayer to the Lord for a year. And when he was confronted by his friend, Nathan, You are the man. He broke down. And he wrote this psalm. Chapter 12 of Exodus, verse 29. Now it came to pass that night that the Lord struck all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon. All the firstborn of livestock. So the Pharaoh rose in the night, and all he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. There was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Then he called for Moses and Aaron by night, said, Rise, go up from among my people, both you and your children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Also take your flock and your herd, and as you have said, and be gone. Bless me also. And the Egyptians urged the people, and they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, We shall be all dead. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, and having their kneading bowl bound up in their clothes on their shoulder. Now the children of Israel had done them according to the word of Moses, and they had asked for the Egyptian article of silver and articles of gold and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. Then the children of Israel journeyed from the Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot besides children. Mixed multitude went up with them also, and flock and herd, great deal of livestock. Stop there, please. Previously, Pharaoh arrogantly challenged, remember in chapter 4, who is the Lord? Remember that? Since he asked arrogantly, God answered him. Pharaoh got the answer, and it was loud and clear that night. All the firstborn in Egypt dead, including Pharaoh's son. And Egypt and Pharaoh would not give God's firstborn, Israel. God took their firstborn of Egypt, as he said in chapter 4. I mentioned this. The firstborn of God, Israel. Who would be the secondborn? I'm sorry? Adam? No. Gentiles. Us. The heathens. We were heathens. Please notice the mixed altitude as I mentioned. These people cause a lot of problems. And we will talk more about them when we study the book of Numbers. Verse 43, please. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, This is the ordinance of the Passover. No foreigners shall eat it. But every man's servant who is bought for money, when you have circumcised him, he may eat it. So a sojourner and a hired servant shall not eat it. In one house it shall be eaten, and you shall not carry any of the flesh outside the house, nor shall you break a bone of it, one of its bones. Underline that for me, please. Nor shall you break one of its bones. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger dwells with you, want to keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his male be circumcised. Then let him come near and keep it, and shall be as a native in the land. For no uncircumcised person shall eat it. Verse 49. One law shall be for the native bones and for the stranger who dwell among you. Thus all the children of Israel did, and the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. So they did. And it came to pass on that very same day, the Lord brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt according to their armies. Stop there again, please. To share in the Passover, one has to make themselves part of the people of Israel. That means they have to be converted. Receiving the covenant of circumcision and taking a Passover were the part of the same package. It's not something you cannot say, well, I'll take a Passover, but I don't want a circumcision as a man. It had to be done. That's the physical side. But what about the spiritual side? God is clearly telling us that unless person come to God in the way of salvation through Jesus Christ, not his own merit or works, he is not one of the children of God. Am I making sense? If you go to Tucson on Walmart Road and 5th Street, on the east side of Walmart and 5th Street, you will see the church there. I do not remember the name. Is that Episcopalian Church? On the sign, it said they are the very, very extremely liberal church. They said all human race are children of God. Is that a right statement or not? Why not? He created them. Exactly. You have to be born again. John chapter 3, verse 3, I quote this very often. Nicodemus came to Jesus, and Jesus answered to him. He said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I hope all of you are saved, born again. But if you are not, your good behavior, your attendance to the church doesn't mean a diddly squat to God. Okay, probably he doesn't use that word. Doesn't mean anything to God. Only thing matter to him is, do you have my son in your heart as your Savior and Lord or not? If the rapture happens now, there will be a lot of people who thought they're going to go to heaven and will be left behind. And somebody will say, I am a Christian, how come God leaves me behind? Because that person, not because of technicality, but because of that person have not received Jesus into his heart. We find another prophetic verse in verse 46 that I asked you to notice. Nor shall you break one of its bones. None of the bones of the Passover lamb to be broken. And this prophecy points to Jesus, our ultimate Passover lamb, who had not one bone broken even in his crucifixion. Let's go to John chapter 19, please. The last portion you turned. John chapter 19, verse 31. Bless you. Therefore, because it was the preparation day that the bodies should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath. For the Sabbath was a high day. That means there are two Sabbath days. Okay? Put that thing in the back of your mind. Two Sabbath days. That means Friday and Saturday, not just Saturday. The Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and they might be taken away. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead. They did not break his leg. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear. Immediately the blood and water came out. And he who has been testified. And his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may live. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. Not one of his bones shall be broken. Okay, side story, no extra charge. How many guys have seen the Catholic crucifixion statue? Many, all of us, right? What is the typical placement for the nail? Right here, right? That should not be. Because number one, if the nail goes through here, it will break one of the bones. There are many bones, small bones in here. Besides, if the nail goes through here, the weight of the person who is hanging on the cross will tear it down like this. Then where is the right place? There's a two bones goes here. According to Greek word, hand goes to here. It does not stop here. Am I making sense? So they put the nail between these two bones right here. And the guys, the thief and the Jesus, was hanging on their wrist. Can you imagine the pain? If you don't believe me, just do yourself a try. Good try. I mean, put the nail, big one, okay? And then hang yourself on the pole. See how that feels. And try to breathe. That's another thing. Jesus' bone was not broken. Had to be here. I just blew the bubble of the Catholic crucifixion statue. But Israel left Egypt. They were large. When the Israel left Egypt, they were large in numbers. All the people were following the Lord, but they were not all the people were following the Lord wholeheartedly. They should have noticed that their God is the real God, not all these Egyptian gods. And they could depend on him for everything. I did an internet search. What is the average walking distance from Egypt to Promised Land? How many days? Who said 11? Give a raise. 11 days, literally. It's a short distance, a few hundred miles. And then there is one website says 5,000 miles. I looked at the Google map and said, yeah, it's about your distance. It's only a few hundred miles. 11 days. But they stretched out to 40 years. Why? Unbelief. Think with me. Do you have unbelief that putting yourself making a journey, unnecessary journey with God? Wouldn't it be better you trust God and go to direction that he wants you to go? All right, point to remember. Passover is a very important yearly feast for all the Jewish people. It should be important to all the born-again Christians as well, not as a ritual and religious holidays, but what it signifies to us. The original Passover is nothing more than a foreshadow of what is to come. The Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Not the death of the Lamb of Egypt in Egypt, but the death and the resurrection of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who became an atoning sacrifice for all of us and provided a place of safety in heaven on that day of judgment. Amen? Before the end of the year, I want you to do one thing for me. I don't know whether it's a prayer journal or whatever. Whatever you have, write it down what you are grateful to the Lord. Think about it. He provided for you. He take care of you. Okay. What else? Let's think more than meal time. Let's think more than checkbook. Spend some time with God. And talk with him and write it down in your note. If you can continue your prayer journal, you will see down the road, wow, look how much I have grown because of the Lord. I forgot his name. Reading makes a broad man. Writing makes you exact man. What does it mean? While you're thinking, you filter through all the other things, you can pinpoint what you need to write. I do that very often. Actually, I do the writing a lot. Let's stand up and pray.